You missed it live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Are we shifting gears in the show just to talk about other content outside of the postponement of the budget speech? But as you might have heard in the last hour and a half, we've really zoned into some of the key factors that have come out of the consequences regarding the postponement of the budget speech. But let's not forget that business does come in different forms, different avenues, aspects. And like I always say, there's a business story in everything. And that's why it's important for us to actually have and host conversations that really help us think deeply about how music plays a critical role in terms of being a great revenue generator and business opportunity. This is where SAMRO, the South African Music Rights Organization, comes to the fore as a key institution that helps artists who produce, record and write music, essentially ensure that they do have the rights and the ownership of the music and art that they create, as such, helping them build and make money and create wealth. To tell us more, though, we join on the line by Annabelle Lebede, who joins us as the CEO of SAMRO to tell us more about the organization, its financial performance and overall business update. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Annabelle, and thank you for your time.
Evening. Thank you so much, Coco. It's good to be back and to have a conversation with you.
Great to have you back with us. And maybe for many South Africans who might be familiar with SAMRO, have heard of SAMRO, hey, even registered with SAMRO, maybe take us back just to understanding the basics regarding the business model of the institution.
Okay. So we exist as an organization that is mandated to protect the copyright interests of our members. Our members are composers, authors, and publishers. So when you create a work, Google, you have to then notify SAMRO that I've created the song, the composition. Mm-hmm. And I own, you'll tell us the split shares that you have. And so our responsibility is to protect that copyright work. And when you notify us, as many times as music users, be they a Kaya FM, a broadcaster, a TV broadcaster, a digital service platform, we would then collect what are called royalties on the member's behalf and distribute them in the form of royalties then to you, who's a member. So we protect those interests not only for national members, but also international members as well through the affiliated reciprocal agreements that we have with similar organizations internationally. So it's an international network of collecting management organizations that are responsible for protecting those copyright interests, mm-hmm. in a nutshell.
100%. And I'm glad that you mentioned this because it's so important to understand the level of transparency, global partnership, and almost, you know, brings the example that I like to typically use of being globally competitive, but still locally relevant. And over the last few years, SAMRO itself has also had to evolve and adopt just to maintain its level of competitiveness in South Africa and beyond. But take us into a better understanding, especially when it comes to the business model regarding transparency, which has become so critical for artists to also understand.
Indeed, Gugu, and it's something that we are from a social ethics and governance point. It's something that we hold very dear, and it's a responsibility that we exercise with the utmost responsibility. So, as we have disclosed in our integrated report, what we collected from all the music users that are licensed by SAMRO, so our responsibility obviously is to go out and make sure that we license music users, because that is what the law says. The Copyright Act says that as a music user, you do not have free access to music that is copyrighted. Therefore, you have a responsibility to comply, and compliance in the form of a license that you have to obtain from SAMRO. We then collect based on obviously what the terms and conditions of that particular license agreement are. And the license agreements vary obviously in terms of the different users. So a licensing agreement for a Kaya FM will be very different to a licensing agreement for the pub down the road, or the, you know, the DJ who's playing a set at a concert over the weekend. Mm. So we've got a basket of tariffs that apply to different users, because obviously, you know, as I said, usage is not the same. And once we sign off on that agreement, we then would issue an invoice, and we collect on behalf of our members in that respect. Obviously, the way that the model is set up by members. So SAMRO was obviously an organization that was set up by members who are the copyright owners. We would then take off, obviously, what is operational expenses for the administration of the collection responsibility and pay the balance over to our members. And this is where we then refer to a great extent to cost-to-income ratio and aiming to bring that down as much as possible. And we're seeing that gradual decrease in the right direction of what it costs us to actually collect the revenue and pay the greatest portion to our members. So in summary, that is what our model is. We license, we collect, and we distribute.
Got you. And this is so important for us as well, because it helps us contextualize the background as to the phenomenal record growth that you've seen in your financial results just this past earnings season. And maybe help us understand that positive numbers, increasing member royalty. So ultimately, it's a win-win for the institution, but more so the artists themselves.
More so for the artists, Gugu, as you rightly say. I mean, we exist because of our members. We are a member-centric organization. And so our responsibility, first and foremost, is to our members. So as many times as members notify works or let us know what works they actually have written and distributed, we then equally have a responsibility to make sure that we chase the money for them. And I think that the essence in understanding the model is, imagine if in South Africa we've got about 140,000 members. Imagine if 140,000 individuals were going around knocking on door to on every music user's door saying, you need to pay me, you need to pay me. So the model is built in such a way that the collecting management organization, which is SAMRO, becomes the agency for its members to go out and represent their interests. Because we know that it would be, you know, you've got economies of scale that work in your favor, you've got a pool of members that are giving you an instruction to go and collect on their behalf. And so that simplified model is really what gives SAMRO the economies of scale to be able to go out there and say, not only do we represent South African, African composers, publishers, and authors, we also represent international composer, author, members' interests as well. And I think that is the power of the model as far back as when it was established and thought of. You know, that you really need, one, you need the legislative backing to support and enable you to do that regulatory function, but also you need the music users to comply and understand what that responsibility is, because it is an asset that we're managing, it's somebody's property that we're managing, and you wouldn't just go and camp out in somebody's backyard just because, right? So in the same way that, you know, the Copyright Act requires music users to acknowledge that they're using somebody else's property. In this instance, it's intellectual property, and therefore they then have to remunerate the owners of that right accordingly.
100%. This is so important because, as you mentioned, you know, the landscape is also shifting and changing. Before, it was just about, you know, music or DJ that might perform music on the radio, on television. But we've got streaming platforms. So music is used on social media as well. 30 seconds of someone doing a dancing instruction to a video and so many other ways regarding distribution. How, I guess, has that been incorporated by SAMRO to enhance the revenues that can be collected for on behalf of artists?
Well, for the year that we're talking about, Gugu, we had a significant increase, year-on-year increase of just around 33% in digital revenue. And this also aligns with international growth patterns that we're seeing, that consumers are no longer, you know, the patterns of consumption around music have changed drastically in the past 10 years. And so there is a decrease in consumers sort of being online, no, using broadcast and television, to becoming a bit more, streaming prone. So the Netflixes, the Disneys, the BritBoxes, the Prime, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. So really that is where video is being consumed a great deal. And then, of course, you've got the user-generated platforms like your YouTube, your TikToks. And again, it speaks to what I said earlier, the baseline is wherever or whoever uses music has to pay for that music.
Mm-hmm.
So from a traditional media perspective, which was your broadcast, your TV stations, your SABCs, et cetera, multi-choice, et cetera, to now what we're seeing on the video on demand spaces, the digital service platforms that are opening up and really, I think, dismantling and disrupting traditional broadcast and consumption patterns that we know. So it's positive in that respect that as more and more digital platforms come on stream and become prevalent in any jurisdiction, that also equally means that your earning potential also grows. And as I said, a 33% growth in digital revenue income mm-hmm. is significant for our members, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what we have to protect.
Definitely. Growth, protection, and of course, just the turnaround that has been attained in terms of the financial results that you've delivered recently. I am so intrigued, just in terms of, you know, the work and the effort it took to get these numbers. In hindsight, of course, it's always easy to, for us, especially as stakeholders, to think, well, this was a breeze, Annabelle. But you've really put in the work in the last 2 years.
Not by a long shot.
Exactly. You've put in the work in the last 2 years since your appointment as CEO with the team that you've put together. So maybe help us understand, you know, shifts in the strategy, the role and function of technology,
right.
and additional actions that had to be taken to see this level of growth that we want to see maintained.
Right, right. Google, you know, I think sometimes we overanalyze strategies and we overthink strategies, and sometimes it really takes going back to basics
yeah.
to do what you need to do. You know, I think, as I indicated, our business model is license, collect, and distribute. But it's around, so our strategy has really been focused on efficiencies, you know, making sure that we reduce the cost of collection, as I indicated a bit earlier on. And we've seen that in a 10-year period, this is the lowest that it's ever been for SAMRO. We've also done it because we have focused our attention on improving our business systems. So the core system and core business really is licensing and distributions and member services. So the core system needs to be and is being developed internally in-house. And I'm really, really proud of what the team has managed to do in bringing in technology and improving on systems capabilities to do the basics. And the basics ultimately will benefit the members.
Mm.
Over and above that, we've had to chase. You know, we've had to chase because we acknowledge that the licensing for music usage is a grudge purchase. You know, it's a grudge tax in a sense. And so we've had to really walk a journey with music users to help them better understand, one, the value of music in their business and their operations, but equally the responsibility that is assumed in the usage of that particular property, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, it's been about, you know, the team focusing on those basics and making sure that our members understand that we are ultimately here for their best interests and seeking to build our members' trust and be transparent in the things that matter the most, and manage collections better. And again, it's chasing after that money that belongs to our members.
100% chasing after the money that belongs to the members. But the members also need to be responsible and come on board and register and follow through with the necessary documentation and the likes. I think it's so important as well, Annabelle, that we do reflect. One of the last times we spoke to you and your colleagues, we highlighted the importance yeah. of making sure that DJs, artists, make sure that they get their licenses, that they register with SAMRO in order to get what's due to them. Unless they officially follow through with the process to document themselves and their work, then there's no way SAMRO is able to able to assist them through these efforts. And I bring this up just to ask for an update. We have a few colleagues here in the building at Kaya who are DJs. Sol Penduka, he's off to China right now to participate in a performance internationally, and a few other producers and musicians that we have in the building. So this is a polite way of me asking to see how we can help them. And if
well, thank
update.
You for reminding them, Google. Firstly, thank you for reminding them of that responsibility. But I know that your colleague Sol is very fluent in sort of music rights responsibilities, and I appreciate The advocacy that he does for generally, you know, the work of collecting societies. But I do want to say, though, Gogo, that part of our why we've increased our distributions is because we've had particular specific projects where we've had to also chase members, right? The money doesn't belong to us. And I really want Kai listeners to understand that everything that we do is about making sure that we reduce the liability where we are sitting with members' money. So, for example, we would have instances where we're sitting with about 40 million rands of unclaimed royalties, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've got projects that literally go around door to door saying to somebody, hey, by the way, wow, please register, become sure a member of SAMRO. We need to pay you. And in some instances, this is also money from foreign societies. And there's a term that's used that is called non-society revenue, because okay, nobody knows who you are. Mm-hmm. But yet, you know that there's music and there's a composition that exists that belongs to somebody. And so we really go around, you know, advocating and implementing campaigns that seek to make sure that members become registered because we're sitting with money. And we do pay out. We clear literally every quarter, we're clearing that account out, you know. But on the opposite side is also where members are not properly registering their works and documenting their works, right? We need to know the specifics around how you notify SAMRO, the detail of information that is required, because it's part of an international system, it's part, yes, of an international network of knowledge around ownership. And so if we don't know you, trust me, they're not going to know you in the UK. But we need to make sure that you are registered and your work is properly registered and accounted for, so that this international system of collections can do right by you. Even if you're sitting in Pietermaritzburg, MLAS, wherever, you will get the money that is due for you. And that is about the transparency and the ethics of the work that we do.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Annabelle, and a tremendous job well done to you, your leadership, and the team that you work with in really restoring the financial viability and efficacy that we see at SAMRO, maintaining its global competitiveness the world over, largely for the benefit of South African musicians, artists, and contributors. So thank you for your efforts, and we look forward to seeing these numbers continue to improve.
Thank you, Gogo. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. That's Annabelle Lebete, who is the CEO of SAMRO, joining us tonight.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.